Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
The Match Ball.
Hello there and welcome to the show. It's brought to you in association with Levi Solicitors. Is the Match Ball. LeviSolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. Michael, do some selling for that, please.
Will's Probate Conveyancing. They don't have anything that can deal with Millwall. You know, that's not their concern, is it?
No.
The things they do, they do very well.
I believe Millwall have been dealt with.
I suppose so. I suppose they have.
So there's no need for Levi's to step in. They can just concentrate on supplying all the great services that they do.
On the old enjoyment axis, where do you sit with that one today?
It was pleasant enough, wasn't it?
I didn't like all the kicking stuff and the fouling stuff and the trying to get Wolf into trouble stuff and Archie Gray limping around at the end looking sad. But apart from that...
Did you have a little telly?
No.
Ah,
what would you like to know?
A few bits, really. The Wolf thing was right opposite corner to where I am, so I've no idea what was going on.
So that should have been a free kick. The Lino was standing right there and watched as... I think it was Cooper. It might not have been Cooper.
The really big man.
Right. As he... yes, it was. Basically wrestled with Wolf, blocked him off, held him back, stopped him from getting near the ball. It was a foul, but the Lino just stood there and was like, this looks fine. And then it ended with Cooper dragging Wilf down.
And then also got booked for it.
Landing on top of him, pinning him down, which Wilf seemed to regard as quite unnecessary and also seemed to be causing him some pain. So Wilf then got in a bit wrestling. Wilf then flipped him over, and then having flipped him over, then there's a really famous photo that some people who bought Match magazine in the 1990s might remember of Vinnie Jones slamming Tony DiRigo's head into the turf after when he came back with Wimbledon. He sort of did that. He had him by the throat on the ground and then got up and then stood there. And that's when all the Millwall players came running over because Wolf was standing still.
Oh, okay.
So they were like, oh, no, no, no. That's pretty much how that went.
Right, so he didn't do anything wrong, more or less.
Not really, no. I wouldn't.
He was bullied by a giant.
All that needed to happen, as needed to happen so many occasions, is if either the Lino had waved his flag or the referee blown his whistle, then all of that would have been cut out and the right things would have been done.
Was this the same hench ref that we had earlier on in the season? And we went, oh, it's the hench ref.
I don't think it's the same guy. I might be wrong, though. But
this is the short ref.
He took a lot of guesses, is what I got the impression of this ref today. It was a bit like, I can see someone's on the floor. I wasn't actually watching when the foul was committed. I'm going to book him. It felt like there were a few where he did that. Some in our favour, it's worth saying. I'm sure there was one. Was it a foul on Gray? And I'm certain he wasn't looking at it. He just saw a pile of...
Just guessed.
Of child on the floor and went, yeah, yellow for that. Whatever.
The throw-in stuff was fun when he gave them a throw-in that should have been ours. And then he gave one to us and there was huge cheers. And then he gave one to us again that clearly should have been theirs. Again, huge cheers. He was like, this guy's...
So, I mean, there was a lot of guesswork.
And when Rodon took the knee to the head, which I haven't seen it back, but people who were watching it at home texted me and said that was a penalty. So fine, I'll take that as evidence it was. And then they obviously broke up the other end when Rodon was lying there practically dead.
Yeah.
On the floor and had that corner.
He was always going to do that.
And I said to my dad, he will blow up and give a free kick for this for nothing. And he did.
Yeah, because as well, he should have stopped it for a head injury if nothing else.
Yeah.
Because generally you get people stoppages of head injuries when someone's heading the ball clear or you know, a keeper has gone down off a corner or something. But Rodon, from what I can gather, got properly like booted stroke kneed in the head. And then the ref was just like, yeah, off we go. It'll probably be fine. It'll survive.
Just on the ref, in the early part of the game, I thought, oh, he's refereeing this all right. And then it just felt like it completely got away from him.
He needed to get to halftime more than anyone did the ref.
Yeah.
I felt like he needed to just get in his dressing room and have a little cry, a little cup of tea, maybe his linesman come in, just pat him on his shoulders and be like, it's all right, mate. You're all right. You can pull this round still.
Because Liam's cousin, Jake Cooper, was just going to keep trying to get sent off until halftime happened, wasn't he? And I don't think the referee really wanted to do anything about that. So it was like, please, can we get to halftime so that this guy stops trying to get sent off and I don't have to worry about it anymore.
Brilliant. The ref skipped our day at the gym, says you both ass on the stream. Hello, we are live streaming for our TSB Plus members. Hello, thank you.
And we are top of the league.
I was going to say that is the big takeaway. We got waylaid with the referee there, didn't we? The big takeaway from today is that we have finished this little spell of the season, top of the league, going into the international break, top of the table, which, you know, Leicester have got their game in hand still to come, but from a psychological point of view, it sends a message, doesn't it? It plants a flag, as they would say on Sky.
Gary Weaver, yes. Well, Leicester have lost again today, haven't they? Just goes to show. Finished club.
Almost looks like the perfect game, that, because at half-time, I thought it kind of Chelsea just winning easily was pretty boring, and that for Leicester wouldn't necessarily be damaged by it. But then to get back to 2-2, a red card, which means a suspension. I don't know if Callum Doyle is an important player for them, because how important can the Leicester player be? And then to lose from there by not just one, but then two, the second one must have been tough. So almost about the best we could hope for out of that. There was kind of part of me that thought it could be good if they go through to the semi-final because of all the extra games that they have to play.
I was kind of hoping for that,
A log jammer.
The next best is probably what happened. So that's good. And then better than all of it was Leeds beating Millwall by 2 goals and going top of the league. I think that was the best thing.
It was nice. There was kind of that little bubbling under, people waiting to be able to sing the song.
Yeah, very much so.
And then it got a little bit of an airing, didn't it? And then there was a little lull in it. We thought, let's wait until full time.
We were very, very comfortable for nearly all of that game. I'm trying to think of any actual chances they had. There were bits where it was bobbling around the box and there was
one good save that Melier did.
Wasn't offside anyway, though.
Yeah.
He made a really good save late on, but I think the flag had already gone up. It was.
Yeah.
I'm not taking it away from him. It was a very good save. But I felt like there was moments of tension in it for us because the ball's going in the box and they've got some big players and whatever. But I think Carver was open at any point and I was like, well, we are by rights going to win this, but they could just score a goal still from nothing and then
dangerous. 1-0 is a dangerous score, that kind of thing.
When Ruta had that chance that hit the... It was saved and then hit the post. And I was like, when stuff like that happens, you do think, maybe we're just not going to score again today.
We'll only win 1-0.
Well, but it would have been a dangerous score, though, innit?
And they got better after we were 2-0 up, which was a bit concerning, but also kind of understandable. But better in the sense, my favourite bit of Melier today was when, right at the end, when Matteo Joseph came on and gave away his regulation stupid free kick. It's good to see he's back on that. And Millwall took it really quickly, tried to lob Melier while he was off his line. And it went about 6 feet over the bar, but Melier dived up as if it was like the most spectacular save he ever had to make. And even then, I think the one thing that the referee maybe did get right today was he went over to him and was like, look, just get up. I know I'm going to blow the whistle. Come on.
Yeah. Neil Harris's comments kind of reflect the pattern of the game. Big fan of Neil Harris, just before I say what he said.
Yes, I've always thought well of him.
Yeah, you love him. Yeah, great. He said, I thought Leeds United deserved to win the game. I was just disappointed with the times and the manner that we conceded the goals. We were the better team for 10 minutes when the crowd got a little bit nervy, which is fair enough because there was that little 1-0 thing, wasn't there?
And they brought on four subs all at once and that seemed to throw us a little bit because...
You need to see how it's going to unfold, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And they seem to give a little bit of renewed vigour for just chasing us round.
But it just needed that second goal and thankfully it came at just the right time. And should we talk about the goals then? Because I think they're probably the good bits of today, apart from going top of the league. Willie Nonto, nice goal.
Beautiful goal.
Business.
Loved that goal.
We needed that because he'd been getting kind of dragged into the... It wasn't surprising when he reacted to being thrown around because he does and you're worried a bit. Oh, is Wolf's head going to go and Cooper's played him cleverly, but instead got the ball off Rutter and smacked it in the goal. And we needed that, I think.
Mm. Yeah. Really satisfying as well to see a man dribbling with one foot and then smacking it in with the other. Just a nice thing.
Reminiscent of your playing days.
Oh, so similar. So similar. Kicked it really hard though, didn't it? Just really pleased. I was right behind it as well in the cop. It's kind of right down my angle. You could just see it arrowing towards the corner. Really nice. Just curving away from the keeper as well.
Were you so delighted that you headbutted your rail seat?
No, I was feeling some of the sharp edges that they've left on it. Oh, they're nice. It's good that they've included some of those.
You're going to take a file in with you next time. I think that's allowed in a football ground, isn't it?
I think so, yeah.
Just take some tools in.
I'll explain. I'll say, look, I know it seems I'm bringing in large metal objects, but it is...
You should see the ones already in there.
It is for my own safety. I'm going to shred a finger on that thing at some point.
Has Wilf redeemed himself yet? Have we healed from his naughtiness earlier in the season?
He's getting close.
Right.
He must be getting close this year now. I mean, he's scoring...
Goals.
He's scoring every couple of games, isn't he?
He's got seven now. So we're spreading the love.
Goals as well.
Somerville 15, Dan James 12, Pirro 11. Then you got Bamford and Nonto both on seven, Georgie on six, Pascal on three.
Mm.
And then some others on one.
Georgie, bless him, he'll never score, will he? He's such a strange player.
But he's hard to get annoyed at, isn't he?
He was kind of rubbish today, again, for large parts.
And you see the photo of him with the player of the match trophy?
Exactly. And then he's man of the match and he gets two assists. That's fine.
Yeah.
One of the highlights...
He's really confusing.
The highlights of him getting that as well was watching, yet again, his post-match interview was delayed because he was busy doing a lap of honour, and I was watching whoever it was, the Sky TV producer, while they were being interviewed, having a very, what looked from a distance like quite a heated discussion with Leeds United's head of media. His gestures were like, he's gone all the way around and we're waiting here. And
he's only a puppy.
Yeah.
Let him do what he wants.
And the response was essentially just shrugging. But he just kept going on, kept this same gesture, like, all over there. And then, because there'd even been, the guy was waving at George. He was like, I've not done the south stand yet. Just wait. So he's not happy about it, but give it to, you know, stop giving it to him. Tell Hinchcliffe or Goodman, give it to one of the players who isn't going to do a lap of honour.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
I'm sure it was only a matter of a couple of seconds, Dan James putting his ball into the net. How long did it feel like to you? I was like,
Scott, just...
I was processing all the thoughts like at once, like, this needs to go in. Why is it taking so long? Oh my God, they're getting bodies back. But it just came out as sort of a mental noise, like,
I think he was right to wait. But then having waited, he did sort of still kick it at them. It bundled through a group of people still, didn't it? Mm. But he was unlucky not to get another, was James as well, wasn't he, when he caught onto his left and hit the post.
Yeah. I was right behind that.
Good.
Funnily enough.
It's nice to have some good subs, isn't it?
Yeah.
People you can bring on and be like, yeah, he'll do something here.
That's the thing with Nonto and James being kind of interchangeable on that position. Njonto scores, you take him off, you bring Dan James on, he scores. What could be better? This is great.
Should have taken James off after that. Charlie Cresswell on the right wing, he scores. Lovely.
As Jim is saying in the comments, Dan James may as well have dropped a D-Generation X suck it before knocking that goal in, or for the youngsters, dabbed.
Mm-hmm.
You're a fan of the dab, aren't you? There we go.
A little bit like the old Brendan Aaronson no-look when he finished from an inch.
Yes.
That little bit of arrogance. But I think in this case, it was less arrogance. It was more, I'm just going to make sure. Because there's two things can really happen. I suppose three things can happen. Somebody can block him and take the ball off him. He looks like an idiot. The other one is somebody can foul him and you get a penalty. And then Bamford can take it. And then the third thing is that you calm it down and pick your spot and shoot it in off one of these Millwall idiots. Pick one of them. Don't know if it was off of, I think he'd got off, but it could have been off of Bowie Mitchell, or it could have been off of George Hanneman. Or it could have gone.
I think he was off by that point.
It could have gone in off. Well, who did they bring? At Ryan Longman. So there was lots of options for him, and he was right to take his choice.
The goals did come at a nice time for us on both occasions. I think, don't they? They just took that little bit of anxiety out of the crowd.
I'd rather they both come in the first 10 minutes.
Yeah. No. Also, I would have liked us to have done what Ipswich did and stick six past them today, but you know, wasn't to be. But at this point, it just feels like, I don't know, it's just like going through the process, isn't it?
We had let it get a war. It was getting a little bit, you know, against one of the teams we beat recently.
One of those.
Barker was saying that there was too many turnovers and we were always going for the counter-attacks.
More of a cake man, isn't he?
And sometimes
you need to be
careful, because if you don't finish your counter-attack, they attack you. And we were... there was quite a lot of turning over going on, and you could see Farker getting increasingly irate with his midfielders and some of the choices that everybody was making, that we don't have to try and score every single time we went forward. Because before it turned 2-0, they were just starting to get, I think that's the bit that Neil Harris is sort of chittering about, that he says they were having a good time because they were getting some counter-attacks because we were getting a little bit too eager and trying to a little bit too hard to score the goal, whereas it's the cool down thing that Farker likes. But it worked out, and he was doing his he was the last air puncher when we scored the second. He was cruising it across laterally across the technical area off the ground, punching the air, which was really, really good. I think he enjoyed. He wanted to be top of the league. He'll be all, his comments will be coming through, and he'll be all like, "Oh, we do not look at the table." He wanted to be top of the league tonight. You could tell by his celebrations on the second.
Yeah,
who would not want to be top of the league? I mean,
well, we're nearly mathematically safe for the playoffs, as has been pointed out by Pew.
Apparently, Leicester don't want to be top of the league. What was their gap? What was the biggest gap?
Well, I was just
up to 17.
Just
more than
hold your horses, point. Michael Normanton. I've got the stat in front of me because Johnny Cooper, who is fantastic at this stuff, has specifically addressed this matter at JRCooper26 on Twitter. Have a look for it. Leeds United are only the second team in Championship history to be 17 plus points behind the top of the table in a season and then go on to end a day in first place, along with Reading in 2011-2012, who were 18 points behind. It took Reading 133 days to do it. It's taken us 65.
Wow.
Which is an absolutely phenomenal one. That's what I was going to say before, actually, just leading into this. Regardless of how this season turns out, and dear Lord, I really want us to go up. I think that'd be very nice indeed. Not going up, not so much fun. But it's been fantastic, and what a great job Farker's done. It really has. It's done so well. This run has been absolutely phenomenal. 10 clean sheets in 2024, and we're only on St. Patrick's Day.
Bloody hell. Yeah, it's just taken for granted a little bit, isn't it, that we just turn up at Elland Road and you take games that on paper, I guess pre-Bielsa probably, because with Bielsa we tended, the odd notable exception aside, to turn up and win. But like for years you've went, oh, Millwall will probably fuck that up. Stoke, that'll be difficult. Whereas now we're just turning up and going, yeah, 2-0, lovely. Next game, we'll worry about that.
Yep.
Next season.
It does feel like we are genuinely taking each game as it comes, to quote the old cliche, doesn't it? Just keep racking them up onto the next one and see where it takes us towards the end of the season. But it is getting a bit exciting now, isn't it?
It would be nice to 6-0 a team like Ipswich did, but seems almost unnecessary.
Well, it definitely is. If we just keep winning 2-0,
yeah,
then we will go up.
And I think also the sort of, it is exciting to go top of the league right now, but that's the question. That's why I was wondering about how big the gap was, because if you actually went back to when Leicester were 17 points clear, there wasn't a feeling of let's rein them in and win the league. Mm. The feeling was Leicester are gone.
Let them go.
Absolutely not. Let them go, and we'll see if we can get second. That's going to be difficult as well because Ipswich are doing so well. But well, they're a little bit there, League One, so we might have a chance. Absolutely nobody, I thought, well, maybe a few optimistic people, but nobody's really going, yep, let's get to the top from here. And here we are.
Manchester United are losing. So Liverpool, Harvey Elliott has just scored heading into half time in extra time. So that's fun, isn't it? A little bit of cherry on top of the icing on top of said cake.
Well, we'll see how it ends. I'm not concerned about the FA Cup. Although the other FA Cup thing this weekend is someone was telling me that Coventry winning means that their game against Ipswich has to move. So that's another nice little bit of pile-up being created. So
it would have been the 20th of April, but they'll have to put it somewhere else now, won't they?
Good.
Yeah.
I hope they have to play it on a Sunday after playing on the Saturday.
That'd be fair. Like Leeds in 1972 when we had to go to Wolves.
That's not a thing.
Win the FA Cup on a Saturday and then, yeah, except don't win it.
Well, no. But yeah, it's good weekend again, isn't it? Just winning games. I really like it.
I think one of the lads who sits near to me made a similar point today. He's like, I think I'm enjoying this. Not quite sure, but I am. I'm not relaxed. I can feel moments of tension creeping in now. And there was one today where I thought, God, don't let this slip, Leeds. Don't let this slip. I thought, no, all the evidence of this season points to the fact that we shouldn't. And I know we can still do that at 1-0 because it is a dangerous scoreline, but we shouldn't because we're better than these lot.
A nice combination of, I feel like we're better organised than most teams and we definitely have better players than most teams. So when people like Millwall come into town, who they don't have much, do they, really? And it's not...
Obafemi looked good, didn't he?
Is he the little cube man who was up front?
Yeah, number 21.
Yeah, strange sort of shape to him, wasn't he? I was like, why is he a square?
I think he was the one who, after it was 2-0, became quite difficult to stop.
Yeah, he did some twists and turns, didn't he, in the box. It looked like he might just beat everyone, but he kind of ran out of space, didn't he, and had a bit of a wild lash. But yeah, I mean, other than him... I'm trying to think. They didn't have much, did they?
No.
That really massive bastard, Cooper, was the main thing I was worried about because I thought he's just going to head in at some point.
Really massive bastard.
He's huge, isn't he? He must be like 6'6", 6'7", or something.
I think that's why Wolf didn't like it when he was lying on top of him and wouldn't get off.
Mm.
So there was a contributing factor to his frustration. It was him, I suppose. I noticed Honeyman because he was like, he seemed to be the one who was winding, his job was to wind everybody up.
Mm.
So he would stand too near at corners and he would do fouls here and he'd get in people's faces there. And so he kind of, that was his job. Other than that, rubbish. Well, despite being rubbish, this game did have that element of like, it's Millwall. This felt like the difficult one that we needed to get, especially because we'd created that pressure of the opportunity to go top of the league. It would have been a bad one not to win, not to win by two. And so, again, with the 6-0 yesterday from Ipswich at Sheffield Wednesday or home to them would have been nice. To do it exactly by what we needed feels very on brand for what Farke's been doing. Like, 3-0 would have been over the top. Gosh.
Save those goals.
Yes, 1-0 would have been disappointing. Losing doesn't happen, but we needed a 2-0 win, so we got a 2-0 win.
Mm. Yeah. We've spoken before, like in recent weeks, actually, about like emotional control and how, because what Farke said would happen is basically now happening, it just seems to have calmed everybody down a little bit. I think we all feel, despite the, you know, what's at stake, the pressure of all that, that with this many games to go, it doesn't feel as horrific as when we were chasing promotion last time. I think it just feels like everything's under control and we are amassing a huge number of points that would see us up in just about any other season. And we just got to keep doing what we're doing and hope that it is enough in what is a fairly remarkable season.
I think the difference to last time was that there was the 16 years of expectation. There was also, we'd messed it up against Derby. And then there was the whole, it always seemed to be, I guess because of Bielsa's preference for not having too many players hanging around, we only had one striker generally. Mm. So it was like, oh, when's Ryan Edmondson going to come into the team and how do we solve the fact? And then... So everybody would be very stressed about what the team was going to look like and who was going to play up front, whether Bamford was going to stop missing all the time and why Eddie Nketiah had gone back and all this kind of stuff. We started that season with Bailey Peacock Farrell in goal. The season before we started with Bailey Peacock and then Kiko Casilla. So it's like,
even worse the second year.
Why can't we just have a good goalkeeper? So there was all those things that were kind of like, there was always questions.
Unknowns, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, and a lot of emotion involved in Bielsa being manager, which kind of, if there was one, if it doesn't have to be criticism, it's different. It's less emotional this time. So it's almost like less, maybe it's less fun to that extent, because some of that in retrospect was actually, is part of what made it such a special time. This time it is a little bit like Wolf getting the ball today and just going, right, this just goes in the net. Farke's just gone, right, this team just goes up in the Premier League and business, which is a little less romantic, but also maybe what we needed after whatever the fuck happened last season.
It's definitely less reckless is the football than under Bielsa, because there were definitely points where we'd have been 2-0 up under Bielsa and still bombing forward. And while sometimes you score an extra goal that's absolutely amazing and you look back at it for years to go, oh, remember when we scored that third and it was the beautiful move and it worked from front to back and then Alioski turned up in the box and stuff. I'm kind of also all right with us just sitting and defending
and knocking it about at the back or whatever.
It's fine, isn't it?
I said to somebody on the way back, I can't remember who I was messaging, because I was exchanging messages with a few people, but like the Bielsa promotion, while there was process that was underpinning it, it was all very strange, wasn't it? It was new to us, was what Bielsa was doing. It was remarkable and it felt so out of left field that I think it was difficult for us to get our heads around at the time. It was underpinned by process, but it was like you say, Moscow, it was weighted with so much emotion and so much expectation, whereas this feels like it is completely process-based. Like, we're going through the process of doing what we were doing. We've got a point total we want to hit. And if it's, you know, if we're about that at the end of the season, then we'll be all right.
And during the actual game, we'll just keep, we'll keep trying to score in the same sorts of ways and eventually it'll work. And in the meantime, we'll defend well. And so...
look after the ball as well, don't we?
We just need one of them to come off and we win the game.
That's the point with those... turnovers that Millwall started getting a bit of life from in the second half is that sometimes we don't try to score. And that's the difference from Bielsa's football. It's like, if you win the ball anywhere on the pitch, try and score inside 30 seconds. Whereas a lot of the time, the players now are like, you win the ball in what's a very dangerous area and you think, and you, cause if you're watching, particularly if I've got the gantry view, then you can see, I'll just play Rutter in and like give it to Somerville and we'll score again and it'll just turn out now we're giving it to Groove and it's fine. And that's it's the difference, and it's getting us there in a kind of a more safer, calmer.
Thought the Gruffalo way. Was very good today.
Yeah, the Gruffalo was good.
I particularly enjoyed his injury time yellow card, where it was just, they were just breaking and he just went, nah, fuck off. Just a real good solid taking the yellow. He probably didn't need to because we're too open. It's injury time, but just take it. Fine.
I was going to say part of their, I think part of their resurgence with their four subs was four uncarded players that they brought on as well, which I think was an advantage for them, but didn't matter because we beat them.
Yeah.
Ref, just to circle back to where we started on the show, Steve Martin, him off of comedy acting.
Oh, yeah.
It's the ref, here's the hench ref refed us at Hull earlier in the season.
He's sent off Roden for Nout, didn't he?
Yeah, well, it's El Loco Joe who's on Twitter who keeps track of the refs this season. Yeah, I've just seen a post by her who's saying that sent Roden off, is denied as a Stonewall penalty in each of the last two games that he's refed for us.
Yeah. I think he's the ref that on that Millwall channel, he referred to him as looking like a condom full of walnuts.
And then today, when Roden gets kicked in the head, he doesn't even, not only does he not give a penalty, but then as the game moves upfield, doesn't even look back to see if he's all right.
No.
So what's he got against Big Joe is my big question for little Steve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let me chuck another stat at you now that someone's just pulled the table up since the turn of the year. And obviously, you know, the table, you know, caveat that by saying it's the table at the end of the season that matters. But we've accrued 37 points in 13 games since the turn of the year. Sorry, not since Christmas. The next best, that Ipswich and Norwich, both on 27, West Brom 24. Coventry, Southampton, Preston, Leicester have got 20 since the turn of the year. So we've made up 17 points. It's wild. They've still got a game extra to play. Southampton have got two games in hand on us. But from 13 games, 37 points. Can't get much better, really, can you? I mean, wow.
That bloody Huddersfield game. Oh, well. It's not gone so well for them since, has it?
No. No, well, congratulations to them for winning 1-1.
No, they got a point at Rotherham, didn't they, which is good. That's a good point from yesterday.
I missed that. Is that what they did?
Yeah, it was 0-0.
I
looked at the table yesterday.
A clean sheet, something to build on.
Basically, everyone at the bottom of the championship lost yesterday. It was absolutely abysmal stuff. Like, no life in any of it. Sheffield Wednesday just getting battered. Birmingham losing. Huddersfield drawing. Plymouth losing. Stoke losing. QPR drawing. Just a pile of shit. It's a stupid division.
Speaking of the rest of the division, did you encounter Middlesbrough's right back roaming around today?
I didn't, but I saw some photos and I heard he was buying a load of beer in the Peacock.
Good on him.
Which is nice. Yeah, when I saw the picture, I wondered if they were going to bring him out or something, but it's a bit politically difficult, isn't it, when you're playing for another team in this league?
Big round of applause to Gayling. All right, Connor, just take a back seat at this point.
Mm. Sounds like is it 3-3 in the FA Cup between Manchester United and Liverpool?
Mm. I would have liked Connor Roberts in this game.
Yes.
I was imagining him sitting on the bench, wishing he could be out there, probably getting a red card.
Mischief.
Yeah.
Absolute mischief, yeah.
Junior Firpo avoided a red card as well after a fairly hefty... He looked... I've not seen a replay. It looked like he did get the ball, but it did also look like he was fairly high.
Is that not the way the man then got up afterwards grinning and walking towards the cop because he realised he'd got him a yellow?
Oh, so, see, when he did, as soon as I saw him sort of take off for the tackle, I thought, oh, Jesus. So
He's a free spirit.
I need to see it back, but I was fairly pleased to see a yellow card for it because I was like, that's fine. Fine, we can take a yellow.
Here's a question for... Sorry, go on. Yeah, so it's a point that I'm going to move on with, so just Firpo first.
Firpo was doing some good stuff in the first half, getting to the byline lots. We could have scored quite a few that way. That seems to work a lot, but I do wish... We said it before, there was a lot of attacking through Junior Firpo. I'd love to get Archie Gray to the byline the same way because he tends to stand on the other wing kind of looking sad and nobody's passing the ball to him. And even though he's in, I sometimes wonder because Gruffalo looks like he's got that pass in him, but he'll look at Archie and then he'll look, he's like, oh, there's a few Millwall players there. And maybe it's that safety first thing, but I think Gray is kind of like opening up an angle where he's like, if I had the ball, I could pass to me. And then Gruff is like, I don't think I'm quite good enough to do that. So
it is quite risk averse, isn't it? The football at times, and I don't mean that as a criticism in any way, shape, or form. They look after the ball and they minimise the amount of risks that they take.
I think part of the reason for the Firpo Gray thing as well is that Gray's inclination as a central midfielder as well, he tends to sort of head infield more, whereas Firpo is down the line and doing normal, well, at least in an attacking sense, doing normal fullback stuff. Again, he popped up at right back at one point today.
Yeah, it was good that, but it was following the clearance of a corner, wasn't it? So I think he just followed the man out, yeah.
I think it's because we had a chance to break or something and he missed
it. Because it was on his right foot.
He missed his pass a bit and then I was like, that's Junior Firpo. What's he doing?
Well, the foul they got a yellow card for was in centre or midfield. It just goes everywhere.
Yeah.
It goes where he wants. Right, yeah, so my question was going to be
three.
Actually the point that Johnny Hayes Jazz has brought up on the stream, which is on screen now. Let's hope the international break doesn't mess us up. I think it's come at the right time, don't you? I think it's just a nice chance for them to reset after, as Farke, I think, has mentioned in his post-match, like quite a high load of games in recent weeks. A time for them just to, you know, heal a few people. Because it was a strong bench today, strong lineup and strong bench, wasn't it?
Yeah, I don't mind the break. I think it'll probably...
Especially after the kicking that we got today. Because Archie Gray, there was a bad tackle on him because he dribbled around about three of their players in the right-back position. So I have a feeling it might have been Honeyman. I don't want to slander a Millwall player and accuse one of them of fouling somebody when they did not. It was a pretty bad tackle on him. It was like trying to teach him a lesson there. Somerville, he blocked somebody who was running by and did he get a yellow for it? I think he did, but he also then did his ankle. Farke said that they're both not too bad, but I noticed at full time Farke went straight onto Archie and was like, what's happened? Are you all right?
And gave Dan James a little kiss on the head by the sound of the comments. That's what people are saying.
I think he's got the... He's doing a good job of keeping James and Wilf kind of happy because he, like, which one's starting, which one's coming on. And if they both play and both score, then it's perfect. And if they both get kissed on the head, even better. So a couple of weeks to kind of, you know, the rest, they should maybe put it in the rules that you get like a couple of weeks off to rest your weary bones after being kicked about by Millwall. Maybe it's part of, if you beat them, then you can have some extra time off. If you lose to them, then it's your own fault and you'd have to carry on. But we just have to hope that Wales against Finland is a relaxed, Corinthian-spirited affair.
Is that just one game? Or is it a two-legged thing?
I think it's one game and then there's another, they play somebody else if they get through.
That's it.
So everybody just needs to come back from that fit and friendly.
Mm. And leave Joe Rodon's head alone for a bit. It's 2 weeks in a row now. He's had people, admittedly one of them was Junior Firpo, headbutting him. I noticed at the end, actually, he was over at the, I think it was when Bruce had been retrieved from Sky. And Rodon went over to him and he was walking over to that spot and he was going, "You, that header was mine. Did you know it came in? There was a cross."
Yeah.
And he was still having a go at him about it. So just get out of the way.
There was a fair bit of that. And I don't know if it's because of, because with the international break, they won't necessarily have the time to go through it. But Farker was having a few kind of, he got Ampadu and James together and was talking to them about some tactical stuff. And then I think it was the Gruffalo with Kamara. They were talking about what had been going wrong in midfield, which is nice.
Yeah.
Because the
didn't feel like a lot.
No, I guess it's the, because after it was 2-0, we made those changes to get Archie Gray in there instead of Glenn Kamara to try and stop Millwall from just attacking so much. So I think it was maybe a chat about what had gone on to get us into that silly situation. But yeah, so everybody seems friendly. Or, oh no, because it was the Gruffalo. But if you get Sampadu and Kamara together, it might have been like, "I'm going to fuck you up next week."
Part of that, I enjoyed the Gruffalo's yellow card. It was a good solid yellow in midfield when he dragged the man down who'd got past him. I enjoyed that. It was good.
Yeah, we may have talked about that a few minutes ago.
I'm forward planning. I'm agreeing with what you said.
Dan once again claiming
it wasn't even me, it was him.
Well, not listening.
I'm agreeing with what you the collective you were saying. Don't be so mean.
You're agreeing with whatever one or the other of us might have said at some point that you weren't paying attention to.
And there's some other stuff you probably said that was probably bollocks, so
fine.
It's fine. Should we wrap it up there then? Anything to add? Rutter comes out with Man of the Match. Who would you give it to?
Oh, God, I don't know. I feel like loads of people were just about fine, weren't they?
I thought Ampadu was good.
Ampadu and Rodon are always good.
Yeah.
Grove and Kamara controlled it pretty well in midfield. Bamford had a quiet...
Did you like Grove's yellow card, by the way?
I did, yeah.
I enjoyed
it.
Did you like when Bamford won that tackle on halfway and was through on goal?
He's not very good. He's not very good through on goal, is he? But
The pace.
I know he's not very quick, but he must be a pain in the ass to play against because he just moves all the time, doesn't he? They might as well let him make that run, to be fair, when he peels off the back, because they're like, "What's he going to do? Just go through on goal and turn backwards." But I can see, you can completely see why he's in the team, can't you? Because he's
annoying.
He's annoying and really relentless in his movement. So it gives, I'm certain it is freeing up space elsewhere.
Yeah, and he did he made the best of that chance getting out to Nyantel, the pass.
Yeah,
I
was going to say
wasn't great, but then he understood it and everyone was like, "Right, cross it." So it could have worked. Oh, for a younger Bamford, so we could be angry at him all over again.
But there's a nice redemption going on with Bamford. I like it. I like where we're all ending up emotionally here. And even if this season doesn't quite go exactly how we want, I feel like we felt like we've healed a lot.
Mm.
After what was a fucking horrible year last year. I hated last year.
It really was awful.
It was just a chore to turn up. I hated it, so much of it. And now we get to come and have a nice time most of the time.
Now we're on the greatest run of our lives.
Yeah.
It probably is.
Well, the 11 wins was since 1932, wasn't it? So it was 10 in a row we managed, if memory serves.
Oh, we didn't quite get the 10, did we? We came close to the record anyway.
We equaled it. So certainly in our lifetimes, we've not been that good. So...
It's nice.
What's to worry about?
It's nice when your football team's nice. We'll wrap it up there, and we're going to record with Phil after this in a few minutes.
And then from the Millwall fans on
propaganda.
Some walked past me today in the tunnel, all dressed exactly the same in flat caps.
Right.
Strange.
Okay.
I just feel like if I turned up and everyone was wearing the same thing, I'd feel a bit awkward. Right. Maybe like, "Oh, you won't. All six was worn the same. Worn a flat cap, have we? Okay."
It's what greengrocers wear.
Right. We'll see you in a bit.
The Match Ball.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com. Cool fact,
A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.